Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu pierwszego.
Text 1. Until recently, we hardly noticed that we are thoroughly surrounded by plastic. You might be surprised to learn that cars and planes are 50% plastic, whereas 60% of clothing is made out of polyester and nylon. When we add toys and packaging, then the extent of the plastic empire becomes all too clear. Indeed, it was an episode of the popular BBC nature series Blue Planet that proved to be a wake-up call for many. Footage of a turtle in plastic netting brought about an angry reaction. Over the next few days, politicians received a flood of emails from people who felt moved to take action. Now, decades after plastic came to dominate our lives, a worldwide revolt against it is finally underway.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Until recently, we hardly noticed that we are thoroughly surrounded by plastic. You might be surprised to learn that cars and planes are 50% plastic, whereas 60% of clothing is made out of polyester and nylon. When we add toys and packaging, then the extent of the plastic empire becomes all too clear. Indeed, it was an episode of the popular BBC nature series Blue Planet that proved to be a wake-up call for many. Footage of a turtle in plastic netting brought about an angry reaction. Over the next few days, politicians received a flood of emails from people who felt moved to take action. Now, decades after plastic came to dominate our lives, a worldwide revolt against it is finally underway.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu drugiego.
Text 2.
Here's your boarding pass. You have a 30-minute connection wait in Vienna, said the attendant at Heathrow Airport. That didn't sound like much time to catch my flight to Romania, but on arriving in Vienna, I somehow reached the boarding gate on time, only to discover that my large rucksack had not managed the same feat. I was going to trek for 4 days in some of the remotest mountains in Europe, and I didn't have time to wait for my luggage, so I decided to board the plane anyway. On arrival at my destination, I jumped into a rental car and found the nearest department store. I hurriedly grabbed some t-shirts, socks and other items of clothing, as well as trekking poles, a tent and a somewhat small and flimsy rucksack. I hiked happily with my new gear for the next 4 days. I enjoyed the peace and quiet the countryside offered and occasionally entered into lively exchanges with shepherds about my baggage disaster. My heart was light and my backpack was even lighter. By the time I returned to the airport to be reunited with my old heavy backpack, I had learned a valuable lesson. Even if your bag has been left behind, all is not lost.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Here's your boarding pass. You have a 30-minute connection wait in Vienna, said the attendant at Heathrow Airport. That didn't sound like much time to catch my flight to Romania, but on arriving in Vienna, I somehow reached the boarding gate on time, only to discover that my large rucksack had not managed the same feat. I was going to trek for 4 days in some of the remotest mountains in Europe, and I didn't have time to wait for my luggage, so I decided to board the plane anyway. On arrival at my destination, I jumped into a rental car and found the nearest department store. I hurriedly grabbed some t-shirts, socks and other items of clothing, as well as trekking poles, a tent and a somewhat small and flimsy rucksack. I hiked happily with my new gear for the next 4 days. I enjoyed the peace and quiet the countryside offered and occasionally entered into lively exchanges with shepherds about my baggage disaster. My heart was light and my backpack was even lighter. By the time I returned to the airport to be reunited with my old heavy backpack, I had learned a valuable lesson. Even if your bag has been left behind, all is not lost.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu trzeciego.
Text 3.
Robert Powell has acted in quite a number of Shakespeare's plays. Today he has agreed to share some of his experiences with us. Robert, would you recommend acting to young people?
Most young people are frustrated by the fact that they don't really know themselves, or that there are things about themselves that they don't like. Well, you can use acting as a tool to try to overcome these personal issues. So if you are shy and find it hard to make friends or talk to people, on stage you can become someone completely different, someone extremely confident who enjoys being the center of attention. And if you have an angry streak in you, you can use it in your acting to your advantage and in a way that turns your anger off in real life. On stage you have the opportunity to pretend to be someone else, and in doing so you can find out who you really are or who you want to be.
What advice can you give to people who are starting to perform in Shakespeare's plays?
For most young people, taking on a part in one of Shakespeare's plays is a real challenge. But really interesting things in life are sometimes demanding, and the harder something is, the more satisfying the rewards can be. Whenever I worked on a Shakespeare sonnet or play for the first time, I didn't understand everything either. I had to go through it many times in order to work out the meaning. I often referred to books by Shakespearean scholars, and all this took time. No professional actor would say that they look at a new Shakespearean text and it leaps off the page at them straight away. But when you do eventually work everything out and start to read it out loud during rehearsals, it is an extraordinary experience.
Have you had any difficult moments when performing Shakespeare?
Well, something unexpected happened when I was doing Hamlet a few years back. Two other actors, playing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, were on a ramp up at the back of the stage while I was performing a fairly long and complicated monologue at the front. Suddenly I thought, the audience aren't listening to me. When this happened again the following night, I started to wonder if it was somehow my fault. But then I looked around and noticed that Rosencrantz and Guildenstern were fooling around at the back of the stage. I ran up to them, got hold of the two actors by the scruff of their necks, and then proceeded to deliver the rest of my monologue. As I was the prince, they couldn't do anything about it. They didn't fool around again either.
And the last question. There must have been some absolutely magical moments. Could you share one or two of them with us?
The best of times is undoubtedly when you're delivering a well-known monologue and you know that you have the audience in the palm of your hand. 11,000 theatregoers, all completely silent, holding their breath and waiting for the next line. It's so impactful being on stage. It really is. Much more so than taking part in a film production.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Robert Powell has acted in quite a number of Shakespeare's plays. Today he has agreed to share some of his experiences with us. Robert, would you recommend acting to young people?
Most young people are frustrated by the fact that they don't really know themselves, or that there are things about themselves that they don't like. Well, you can use acting as a tool to try to overcome these personal issues. So if you are shy and find it hard to make friends or talk to people, on stage you can become someone completely different, someone extremely confident who enjoys being the center of attention. And if you have an angry streak in you, you can use it in your acting to your advantage and in a way that turns your anger off in real life. On stage you have the opportunity to pretend to be someone else, and in doing so you can find out who you really are or who you want to be.
What advice can you give to people who are starting to perform in Shakespeare's plays?
For most young people, taking on a part in one of Shakespeare's plays is a real challenge. But really interesting things in life are sometimes demanding, and the harder something is, the more satisfying the rewards can be. Whenever I worked on a Shakespeare sonnet or play for the first time, I didn't understand everything either. I had to go through it many times in order to work out the meaning. I often referred to books by Shakespearean scholars, and all this took time. No professional actor would say that they look at a new Shakespearean text and it leaps off the page at them straight away. But when you do eventually work everything out and start to read it out loud during rehearsals, it is an extraordinary experience.
Have you had any difficult moments when performing Shakespeare?
Well, something unexpected happened when I was doing Hamlet a few years back. Two other actors, playing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, were on a ramp up at the back of the stage, while I was performing a fairly long and complicated monologue at the front. Suddenly I thought, the audience aren't listening to me. When this happened again the following night, I started to wonder if it was somehow my fault. But then I looked around and noticed that Rosencrantz and Guildenstern were fooling around at the back of the stage. I ran up to them, got hold of the two actors by the scruff of their necks, and then proceeded to deliver the rest of my monologue. As I was the prince, they couldn't do anything about it. They didn't fool around again either.
And the last question. There must have been some absolutely magical moments. Could you share one or two of them with us?
The best of times is undoubtedly when you're delivering a well-known monologue, and you know that you have the audience in the palm of your hand. 11,000 theatregoers, all completely silent, holding their breath and waiting for the next line. It's so impactful being on stage. It really is. Much more so than taking part in a film production.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Speaker 1.
I was reluctant to pay the removal company $80, so my brother and I decided to transport my washing machine ourselves. We had turned off two taps, but there was another tap that we had no idea about. When we disconnected the washing machine, water started coming out of the tap we had missed. We tried to stop the flow, but failed hopelessly. The only way of dealing with it was to turn off the water in the entire apartment building. As it was Saturday morning, this really annoyed my neighbours. The irony is that I had wanted to save $80, and in the end, I ended up paying much more in repairs.
Speaker 2. I was moving from Sydney to Melbourne, so I used a long-distance removal company to transport my things. I supervised the pickup in Sydney, and it all went smoothly. But on the day that the truck was to arrive in Melbourne, the company sent me a text. I had expected that the text would confirm the time of delivery, but instead it said that the driver had had an accident on the highway and the delivery was going to be delayed. 2 days later, they phoned to inform me that my belongings would be delivered to a Melbourne warehouse for me to identify. The word identify made me feel slightly worried, and indeed, all that had survived of my belongings were my golf clubs, a rug, and my snowboard. Speaker 3.
A few years ago, because of annoying neighbours who were making our lives a misery, we had to sell our amazing terraced house. We then bought what we thought was a nice property in a lovely neighbourhood. But after we moved in, I found out that many of the roof tiles were cracked, which meant that the roof kept leaking. As a result, the entire house was damp. When we learned that the estimated cost of repairs would come to £30,000, we wanted to back out, but it was impossible. We should have had the property surveyed, but we had been so desperate that we simply didn't bother.
Speaker 4. When I moved to Florida from Maryland, I hired a long-distance removal company. When the delivery date came, they called to tell me everything was on schedule. When they didn't show up at the appointed time, I phoned them to see if there was a problem. It turned out that the driver had suddenly quit and left the truck with my belongings in Jacksonville. They had to fly another driver in from Chicago. When the truck finally arrived, I discovered some boxes were missing, and one box delivered to me contained things that weren't even mine. I contacted the company again to make a complaint. They finally tracked down my other boxes and delivered them a few days later. Apparently, my load had got mixed up with someone else's. Speaker 5.
To transport my stuff to a new flat, I hired a moving company that charged by the hour. They promised they could get everything done in up to 3 hours. When they pulled up outside my apartment building, it turned out it was just two guys in a cargo van. They carefully packed the contents of my apartment in their van. It was like watching them do a puzzle. Impressive at times, but it took forever. In the late afternoon, the van was completely full, and the only item that did not fit in the van was a big air conditioner. I was going to transport it next day, but then I discovered that it was leaking, so there was no point taking it to my new flat.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Speaker 1.
I was reluctant to pay the removal company $80, so my brother and I decided to transport my washing machine ourselves. We had turned off two taps, but there was another tap that we had no idea about. When we disconnected the washing machine, water started coming out of the tap we had missed. We tried to stop the flow, but failed hopelessly. The only way of dealing with it was to turn off the water in the entire apartment building. As it was Saturday morning, this really annoyed my neighbours. The irony is that I had wanted to save $80, and in the end, I ended up paying much more in repairs.
Speaker 2. I was moving from Sydney to Melbourne, so I used a long-distance removal company to transport my things. I supervised the pickup in Sydney, and it all went smoothly. But on the day that the truck was to arrive in Melbourne, the company sent me a text. I had expected that the text would confirm the time of delivery, but instead it said that the driver had had an accident on the highway and the delivery was going to be delayed. 2 days later, they phoned to inform me that my belongings would be delivered to a Melbourne warehouse for me to identify. The word identify made me feel slightly worried, and indeed, all that had survived of my belongings were my golf clubs, a rug, and my snowboard. Speaker 3.
A few years ago, because of annoying neighbours who were making our lives a misery, we had to sell our amazing terraced house. We then bought what we thought was a nice property in a lovely neighbourhood. But after we moved in, I found out that many of the roof tiles were cracked, which meant that the roof kept leaking. As a result, the entire house was damp. When we learned that the estimated cost of repairs would come to £30,000, we wanted to back out, but it was impossible. We should have had the property surveyed, but we had been so desperate that we simply didn't bother.
Speaker 4. When I moved to Florida from Maryland, I hired a long-distance removal company. When the delivery date came, they called to tell me everything was on schedule. When they didn't show up at the appointed time, I phoned them to see if there was a problem. It turned out that the driver had suddenly quit and left the truck with my belongings in Jacksonville. They had to fly another driver in from Chicago. When the truck finally arrived, I discovered some boxes were missing, and one box delivered to me contained things that weren't even mine. I contacted the company again to make a complaint. They finally tracked down my other boxes and delivered them a few days later. Apparently, my load had got mixed up with someone else's. Speaker 5.
To transport my stuff to a new flat, I hired a moving company that charged by the hour. They promised they could get everything done in up to 3 hours. When they pulled up outside my apartment building, it turned out it was just two guys in a cargo van. They carefully packed the contents of my apartment in their van. It was like watching them do a puzzle. Impressive at times, but it took forever. In the late afternoon, the van was completely full, and the only item that did not fit in the van was a big air conditioner. I was going to transport it next day, but then I discovered that it was leaking, so there was no point taking it to my new flat.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
When Laura Trowbridge, a 22-year-old student from London, decided to take part in a television documentary, she had no idea what an ordeal it would become. Otter Hole, a 2-kilometre-long cave where the documentary was being shot, is located on the west bank of the River Wye and has a reputation for being dangerous. As an experienced caver, Laura was well aware of the risks, But no matter how careful you are, accidents do happen. Deep inside the cave, Laura slipped, fell 7 feet from a ledge, and seriously injured her leg. There was no way she could make it out of the cave on her own. Heavy rains in the area made the situation critical. Part of the rescue route had been flooded, and volunteer rescuers, who arrived at the scene very quickly, could do nothing but wait for the water level to drop. Only then were they able to enter the cave. Laura was carried 750 metres on a stretcher back to the entrance of the cave. Paul Taylor of Gloucestershire Cave Rescue said that Laura was really patient and calm during the ordeal, so the rescuer's job was much easier. It was very tight in the cave and the mud made movement difficult. The rescue team made a superhuman effort in very difficult conditions. The biggest challenge was the narrow tunnel in the section near the entrance. Laura was given painkillers and often had to be taken off the stretcher. Just imagine, the last 10 metres took more than 2 hours to complete. Sam Moore, another of the rescuers, said that the jokes and witty banter kept spirits high. In his opinion, you have to laugh and joke in such critical situations so as to keep people less stressed.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
When Laura Trowbridge, a 22-year-old student from London, decided to take part in a television documentary, she had no idea what an ordeal it would become. Otterhole, a 2-kilometre-long cave where the documentary was being shot, is located on the west bank of the River Wye and has a reputation for being dangerous. As an experienced caver, Laura was well aware of the risks. But no matter how careful you are, accidents do happen. Deep inside the cave, Laura slipped, fell 7 feet from a ledge, and seriously injured her leg. There was no way she could make it out of the cave on her own. Heavy rains in the area made the situation critical. Part of the rescue route had been flooded, and volunteer rescuers, who arrived at the scene very quickly, could do nothing but wait for the water level to drop. Only then were they able to enter the cave. Laura was carried 750 metres on a stretcher back to the entrance of the cave. Paul Taylor of Gloucestershire Cave Rescue said that Laura was really patient and calm during the ordeal, so the rescuer's job was much easier. It was very tight in the cave and the mud made movement difficult. The rescue team made a superhuman effort in very difficult conditions. The biggest challenge was the narrow tunnel in the section near the entrance. Laura was given painkillers and often had to be taken off the stretcher. Just imagine, the last 10 metres took more than 2 hours to complete. Sam Moore, another of the rescuers, said that the jokes and witty banter kept spirits high. In his opinion, you have to laugh and joke in such critical situations so as to keep people less stressed.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.